Hey everybody, it's good to see you all again. This segment is just to kind of let you guys know what is going on in this episode. So, in this episode, there is a situation towards the end, or anywhere in this episode, there is a blank. That means there is no sound coming in the episode, and you might think that is your fault. That is my fault. You can blame me, say it was my fault, because that is editing problem, and that's because of recording and the recording platform that I use. If that happens to be in the episode, if that's in it, what you need to do is to just disregard it. Don't worry about it. Consider it like an ad break. Consider it like a break. Consider it like we're taking a 5-minute break. Consider it like that. So no freaking out. No need to worry. Make sure you guys enjoy the episode. Enjoy what's in it. And y'all have a good one and enjoy this one. Really enjoy it and have fun. And please disregard the blanks in there, consider them breaks. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and thank you guys for understanding and for your cooperation.
Hey, hello guys. Oh, good to see you. I love doing this. Hi guys.
How
It's
are
me,
you?
Sig. I'm doing well. It's good to see you guys. This is John Wayne F the third. He probably is one of the, I guess, the best I've ever met. I'm so excited to have you with us. I'm so stoked to even said yes. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I thought that your podcast is very unique. I listened to some other ones you did, so I was very encouraged to participate.
Oh, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, I was really intrigued by the stuff that you've been putting on social media lately. Firstly, congrats on all the many, awards and many things that you received over the past year. I mean, I've seen it and you're getting tons of awards. Like, congrats. Like, I've seen you and I even looked and saw that you were featured on New York Weekly. Like, that blew me away. Then I'm like, wow. My interviewer was on New York Weekly. That's pretty amazing.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at all the stuff you're doing. You deserve as much praise as possible.
Yes, it is a culmination of 28 years that I've been producing and in entertainment in general. So it is, I don't want to tell my, tell my age, but I go back pretty far, so
Yeah, you got behind the car. Like you've been doing it for a long time, right? Like 20 years you've been doing it.
yeah, so it's 28 years I've been producing. I started out in music, and I was an A&R director for a company, but a really big producer named Steve So Curly. So I ran his office in the UK and in Japan. And I've been a label president twice. I managed artists before, also out of producing television and film.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
Wow, that is extraordinary. I mean, doing all that, being a producer and a writer, and even having your own television production company, which I did want to actually talk about, because when I saw it, I was like, this seems unreal. Like, this couldn't possibly be real, right? And I look and it's official, like you have it everywhere. Which that caught my eye too, especially, London Town Pictures. Like that, like blew me away when I saw it. Firstly, when it said London's father, firstly I thought, you were talking about kids or something. I thought, but when I looked, I was like, oh, you're talking about creating that production company. Which, how'd that even start the company itself, because that's intrigued me a lot.
Well, London is my daughter. My daughter's name is London.
Oh, I did not know that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
That blew.
her name is London, so the company is named after her. When I started a business, I had a company called JWS Productions, which I still own. But when I've done about 200 music videos over my career. And so
I was known for doing music videos, and I wanted to go into television and film. So I said we need a change, and so I decided to change it to London Town Pictures, named after my daughter.
Oh, that is so sweet. That must have been amazing when you told her the news. Like, hey, guess what? I made a company that with your name on it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You know, the fun thing about that, I don't really know how she really feels about that. We never really, I honestly haven't talk about it, because I've had the company for a long time. But I guess we're going to have a conversation. Well, how do you feel about that? Because then everybody knows your name, and my emails say London Town Pictures, everything says, you know, how does she really feel about this? She seems to be okay, and people know her because she edits videos on for her friends on TikTok. So she edits. So obviously that kind of helps her having a name. Name out the company, I'm sure, on some level.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you're gonna have to ask her eventually, like, or have you done it already? Like, have you already talked about it and asked her yet?
I mean, she's 14 years old, so she's a teenager. That's like I'm assuming that when she gets older and becomes an adult, we might have a conversation. But honestly, you know, later on this evening, because you just said it, because I've never talked to her about it, we're actually going to have that conversation and ask her how she feels about that. So, now that you brought it up, I never really asked her about that. But I would imagine she's okay with it, because she's very vocal. So if she had an issue with it, she would have said something to me about it. But she seems not to have an issue with it.
Yeah, I bet, for real. And I'm very surprised you haven't talked about considering, like, how long has the whole production company been around? Like, how long has it been? Like,
well, I changed my name right before she was born. So most of her, you know, being a child, she wouldn't even have any relevance. She wouldn't even know that, you know, what the name of my company is. I don't think, like, she's in high school now. So I think, like, now she kind of has to get an idea of, but before then, I don't think she really knew, even though she saw her name and didn't think too much about it. But now that she's a teenager, then it might, you know, she might have an opinion about it.
Well, if her name's everywhere, I think she's going to like it. That's like massive to have your name printed all over. I want to have my name printed all over, people cheering for me. I want to have that.
You can have that. You definitely can. It is in your wheelhouse, and it is in your power to make that happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I can't wait to see the reaction. Maybe you'll post on Instagram, and we'll all get to see that, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, that's a good... You know what? I'm going to... You have spurred something creatively in my mind about that, so I'm going to talk to her about it, and I will post something on Instagram about how she feels about that.
Oh, that is so sweet. That's so nice. Yes. Wonderful. I'm glad I could spark that up.
Yay.
Now that has gotten dealt with, another thing that caught my eye, along with everything else, was Albany Hustle. Now, I've seen you post about it multiple times, and wow, is this like your first movie? Like, is this your first movie you did, or you've done like multiple movies?
No, I've done other movies too. This is just the one that just Ebony Hustle just got released on December 1st, but I have other movies that I have done. Ebony Hustle is it's a movie about an ex stripper turns private investigator. So what she does on a daily basis is insurance fraud and disability claims. So she works with a company that when everybody have a claim, they send her out to verify if these people actually should get this claim. On this particular day, a woman from the neighborhood sees her and asks her to help her find her 16-year-old daughter. Her daughter went to this concert a couple of months ago to see this guy named Caleb Truth. Caleb is like, he's an ex-gangster rapper turned pastor. And he's like a mix between R. Kelly and Kanye West. He likes young girls, but he also has a God complex, which is not a really good combination. And so Ebony kind of tells the lady that, I don't do missing kids, but the lady's kind of like, if you don't help me, I don't know who else will. And through a series of events, she eventually goes to help the lady and get the daughter back. But just like every great superhero, Ebony has a weakness. And her weakness is young guys, because she's older. And so whenever a young guy comes around or gets her attention, it gets her distracted and pulls off of what she's trying to do. So that's what happens. She goes to help save the girl, but she also has the issue of the young guy that she's dealing with.
Oh my God, wow. I now want to watch the movie. I want to watch it now. Like, where is it? I want to watch it now.
So you can, we have, it's premiering on Tubi TV for the next 2 weeks. And then on the 14th, you'll go to Amazon and Vulu and all the other platforms. But right now, if your listeners want to see it, they can go to Tubi TV and type in Ebony Hustle, or go to ebonyhustle.com and they can click on the link to view the movie.
Oh, nice. Wow. Oh, is it free? Like, can we watch it? Oh,
yes.
Yay. And yeah, you guys are all over. I was looking at it earlier, and you guys are all over. You guys are even on Rotten Tomatoes. Now yes. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, so in about a week or so, the critics will start posting the response to the movie. I've got most of them back already, so... they have to wait till the movie actually comes out before they can actually post something. So once it's been out for a week or two, then people start posting their feeling about it. I'm hoping for a great score. I've got nothing but really positive reviews about the movie so far. So we'll just see how people feel about it, and then how other critics that I have not talked to feel about it.
You already know, like, it has a very... You know, it has an interesting topic to it. It's definitely out of this world, and it's dealing a little bit with crime, which people love that. They love that. I mean, I'm already intrigued about it, and I haven't even watched it yet. I'm at the edge of my seat. Like, I want to watch it, like, after this, I'll probably... That's why gonna be my movie night will probably be there, too.
Very good. I appreciate that. All you have to do is go to... EbonyHustle.com to click on the link to Tubi, or just go to Tubi yourself. Tubi TV. You don't have to download anything on Tubi. You can download if you want to or create an account, but you don't have to. If you just go to Tubi TV and type in Ebony Hustle, the movie will come right up and you can see it right then there. That's one of the few streaming platforms that you don't have to do that, like Netflix and the other ones and Amazon. You actually have to go through a process. But with Tubi TV, you don't have to do that. You just click on it and just start watching.
Man, I love that. I love that. I hope you're going to get a lot of listeners. I mean, most people, they love the kind of thing that your movie's about. They're going to love it. I already know.
My other movie, you asked about the other movies I've done. A movie I did before this was called Red All Over. Red All Over is about a young boy who accidentally shoots a girl. But it's told from both the shooter and the victim's perspective. A lot of times when you see it have these random shootings, with these young people shooting each other, what happens is that people talk about the person who shot, they should go to jail and everything. But, you know, no young person gets up and, you know, in the morning and say, I'm going to shoot somebody. There's a process. And so what we try to explore, the tagline for the movie is that before you choose a side, understand both. We show both his home life, and we show the girl who gets shot her home life. So you can kind of make a decision about if you're for gun rights or you're against gun rights, you have issues with guns, whatever the case may be. See both sides of the spectrum. See both sides of the story. How he got the gun. Why was she at the park in the first place? Those issues. And then after that, then you can make a decision how you feel about it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I love that too. I definitely love the concept of the true meaning of making a decision. And you're in a real situation where you get to really go into the two topics discussed, and you really have to, that's when you really make a decision. Like, I love the concept of that. That's really brilliant.
Yeah, because the young boy, his mother's an addict, his father's an alcoholic. The young girl, her father's a single parent, the mother's not there. There's a bully involved in school. There's some mental health issues involved. There are a lot of things that go on people's life. It's just not just cut and dry, like just, you know, we all have stories individually, you know, and without those stories, we wouldn't be who we are. But they all need to be taken into consideration when people make choices or make comments about, you don't know. I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with on a daily basis. You know, if I had a moment to step in your shoes, I'd probably have a different perspective and say, oh, that's why he does that. Why? That's why she does that. That's why they responded like that. But people sometimes don't take the moment to really kind of understand both sides. All they do is just kind of make a blanket response.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's true even now. People do that. So that's, I mean, I can relate to that too.
Yeah. And right all over, you can pretty much get that everywhere. It's pretty much on all platforms. You can even look at it on YouTube, you know. So it pretty much, whether it's a streaming platform, you can see the movie.
Yay, so exciting. That's another movie going to come on movie night, too.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I support everybody. Mm-hmm. That's with me.
That's a good thing. And so the one thing is also with Ebony Hustle is the soundtrack, which is the one reason why we were drawn to your podcast, is there's a really great soundtrack with four indie artists. I mean, I'm very proud of the movie, but I'm really proud of the soundtrack because I figure, like, you know, sometimes when I go to projects and I go to artists to try to make songs for projects, sometimes they always don't give me exactly where I'm trying to go. They can't sometimes write to the subject matter that I want them to write to. But these artists did an amazing job of doing that. We got an artist named Rosie Bush out of Houston. Amazing song. She did the title track Hustle. We have another, Natalie J. She did a song called Chasing Cake, which is also the title sequence song that we use in the movie. And then there's another artist who is Caleb Truth. Now, he did a song called Church. The thing about it is that this is the guy who's actually in the movie, too. And when you see him in the movie and then you see him rapping, he is not a rapper. He is not a rapper. We had to create all this for him. So when you see the video for his song and then you see him in the movie and you see him rapping the song, he did such a great job and he's not even a rapper. And the last artist we got is, he goes by the name of 86. He did the song Keep Grinding. So they're a really great and amazing indie artist that we also try to go out and support.
Wow, that is pretty impressive. And that guy that you said was doing rapping, I mean, look at that. He did a whole transition while on that soundtrack and while still looking good and rapping it, he wasn't even a rapper. Like, that's pretty impressive. And you even found somebody like that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really amazing that he was able to, he was open to the process. He was open to bringing a character alive. And so I think in some essence, he just became the character. He just, you know, bought in 100%. And he did a really good job. I'm just not saying it because it's like, you know, obviously it's my song and stuff like that, but he did a really great job. You know, the church song, it's church, without an R, church. You can get the whole soundtrack on pretty much whatever streaming platform, music platform that you go to, but it's a really great soundtrack. On top of that, we did a whole album of score. So all the score that we used in the movie, the guy who did it, name is Colin Andrew Grant. Colin does, he works on the Halo video game. He does music for Halo. And he did the score for the movie. So there's a whole album with him, which is available everywhere too, where you can hear his whole score from the movie.
Oh, wow. Look at the soundtrack and score. What a major plus.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we really spent a lot of time thinking out, planning it. Trying to make, you know, really great indie movies, not just, you know, something that's sitting on YouTube, but something that can be really go out to the masses, that people can really appreciate, that quality has nothing to do with quantity. So even if you don't spend millions and millions of dollars, you can do a really great movie that people like the story, people can buy into, have great music and the product placement we have in it, all those things kind of merge together to have a really good project.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those three together that you have, I mean, all those three plus, I mean, it's already a great movie and you have it right in full. I mean, that's pretty impressive if you ask me. And you're doing it all in one along with the rest of your life. I mean, that's impressive, too.
Yeah, it's not that easy. I mean, you know, I know sometimes people are like, oh, why are you doing all that stuff? But it's a process. I'm committed to the process. I'm committed to doing a really great product because I got to put my name on it. And I want to do the best I possibly can. When I look at it, I want to say, yeah, this is the best that I can, you know, that I could do. And I put everything in. So I didn't have step in it. I went straight and I put all the things in. Crossed all the T's and dot all the I's to make this project work.
You're a very hard worker. I respect that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, it is hard. I've interviewed so many times actual parents like yourself. I mean, like in the mind of a parent actually, like how has it been balancing, producing, writing, of course, movie production and also raising children and a family? Like how has that been, balancing all that?
So a lot of it is just really a time management thing. You really kind of stay focused, So I really try to, I can't be everywhere all the time, So I try to like make sure I'm there at the important times, and I try to, my daughter's with me a lot, So she's with me in the process of doing stuff. So while I'm, doing, when it comes to doing a movie or production or TV, whatever, most of the time, people just see when people are on the set and doing the movies, but there's a lot of other stuff. Most of it is what my day is really Zooms and paperwork and the computer. So shooting is a very small part of the bigger part because I have to do all these things first before we actually get to the point of actually shooting something. So in a lot of cases, she is with me. She's with me at home. She's at my office. We're talking, and I'm telling her what I'm doing and how that process works and who I'm talking to, so she's there with me. We, she plays soccer, so I try to make sure I make all the games, stuff like that, and help her with her homework. But it definitely is a balancing act.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And the way that you master time management, I mean, that's pretty big considering everything. Like that's pretty amazing. You're able to do all that, especially now that we're all getting back and things are still kind of, still kind of in the middle.
Yeah. Any day the bottom can fall out. We just don't know. So, they had the Delta strain, now they got the Omicron strain, so you don't really know what's going to happen. So all you can do is just kind of keep moving forward. When we shot this movie in the middle of COVID, like before they had the vaccines or anything. And all they pretty much was telling me, so we have to follow a lot of protocol to get stuff done. There's some things we couldn't do that was in the script just because most of our stuff was closed. But we really followed protocol to make sure everybody was safe. Nobody got sick. Everybody, while we're shooting, nobody got sick. Everybody, came to work every day. We got tested and everything. So we were fortunate that, because I know a lot of other producers who worked on stuff that people got sick and they had to shut down like two or three different times. So we were very fortunate we were able to shoot all the way through with no one getting sick.
Yeah, that was very fortunate. Thank God for that. I mean, wow. I mean, that's pretty impressive too. During pandemic, like in 2020, like during all, even the height of the pandemic with all new cases, you still did it.
Yeah, we shot this in December of last year. So that was during a time where it didn't seem to be getting no better. They were talking about getting a vaccine, but they hadn't come up with one yet.
I remember that time. I remember. But wow, that's really impressive. I mean, props to that. You really did it. That's pretty impressive. I remember a lot of studios, they had to close and close on shelves because they couldn't do it. I mean, if only they have done what you did. If
Yeah,
only.
so our we have maybe about 30, 35 people at one given time. So that's a really easy a group of people to crew and cast to kind of manage versus it's still they're thinking of hundreds and almost thousands, sometimes thousands of people at one time in one space, and it's kind of really hard to do to do. I also do want to mention, my partners because doing a movie is a cooperative process. I cannot do it by myself. So I have two writing partners, Frank Overton and Nia Cachet, and then my producing partner, Kathy Sapp. So they really helped us out, to make sure everything went straight and, did their part to kind of make us keep moving forward. When we start doing this process, let's go back a little bit. I didn't set out to make a movie called Ebony Hustle. Honestly, I'm gonna really tell you, I did. That wasn't my whole perk point. But a couple of years ago, I was doing a press junket for this other product, and I was in Atlanta. And you go to the press junkets, all these people ask you questions, and then, young people come up and ask you questions on how to get into business and stuff like that. And this young guy came up to me, and he wanted to know, you know, how can he get into business? And I told him, you have something very powerful that I didn't have growing up. You have Google. If you ask Google the right question, you'll get the right answer. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, you know what, John? I don't even know what the right question to ask. So that made me start thinking that there are a lot of young people who, you know, who want to know how to move to the next level. They just don't know how to do it. When I started out doing music videos and commercials like that, I started when we actually used real film cameras with real film. You got to get developing process. So it wasn't just like I go get a camera on my phone and I'm going to do a movie or shoot a commercial. We actually have to go through this whole process to get stuff done. And that was no internet. So if you wanted to know something, you need to read it in a book. And you need to really try to figure it out. There was no internet to go and try to do this. So a lot of guys, I see a lot of young guys, even when I started, there was like nobody in middle America doing music videos and stuff like that, either New York or LA. My first job on a movie was, I didn't go to film school. I'm going to say that right. I did not go to film school. My forte into entertainment started because I was going to school to be a doctor, a gerontologist. That's what I wanted to do. I was about to go to med school, trying to figure out what medical school I was going to go to. And this production manager called me and said that I had left a message on an answering machine about an indie movie. And I said, I don't remember that. She's like, yes, you did. And at the time, I was in college and I was working at I was a manager at a parking garage. And I just lost my job. So I was like, oh, well, it seems interesting. It was for a second assistant director on the movie. So I said, well, what? I was getting unemployment at the time and I wasn't working. So I said, well, you know, let me go and see how it is. So I went next couple of days. I had the suit and tie on and didn't know what, you know, I talked to the first assistant director. He realized about 5 minutes that I didn't know what to do and I couldn't help him do anything. So she called me back like a week later and said, well, I can't give you that job because, you know, you don't really know what to do. But I have a production assistant job in the art department. Production assistant's like the guy who gets the coffee, get all the errands and do all stuff like that. I said, okay, fine. They were shooting 16 hours a day, 6 days a week for like 6 weeks straight. And the pay was $50 a week. And I said, yes. Fortunately enough, the movie I worked on was this indie movie called Scenes for the Soul. It was director George Tillman's first film out of film school. George went on to do the Notorious movie, all the Barbershop movies, Men of Honor. He's done like a lot of big movies, but this is his first movie out of film school. And I worked on that with him. And I met this other guy who didn't go to film school either. He went to like a community workshop for directing. And so we, at the time, this is right before Hype Williams. Where Hype Williams is people spending millions of dollars on music videos. But people spend a lot of money. They wanted music videos, but they just, even songs they wanted to record, they just wanted a video. They would spend like $30,000, $40,000 on indie music videos, which is kind of crazy now because people are spending $300 on video. But they would spend a lot of money on music videos. And so we started doing music videos in Chicago for these songs, you know, a variety of different songs. And during the process, I met this music producer. We had did a song for one of his artists. And he was about to do this big deal with this big with RCA. And he was like, look, he invited me on to be a publicist. And I was telling him that I really didn't know anything about being a publicist. So I think he can do it. And after 3 years being when I became the director of international A&R for his label in Japan and his agents and label in Japan and in the UK. So when his deal was over and I wanted to go back into television, I knew everybody who worked at all the big labels. I knew everybody who worked at the distribution companies. So music videos are not really about how great you are. It's about trust. If I give you some money, will you come back with something that I actually can use? People who work at record labels, big distribution companies, television and film, although they traffic in creativity, they are, it's a corporate entity. They're about the bottom line. And so they got 401k, they got PTO. They don't want to do anything that's going to have them lose their job. So I got to do a lot of music videos. I like to believe because I'm like a good music video director, but more only because I knew all the people that worked at the labels and they trusted me. They trusted I was going to bring something back that they actually can use. And so after his deal was over with him, I went back to, you know, to producing television and film. But going back to the guy who had come to me at the press junket and him asking me about, you know, navigating, he said he didn't know. I started to think there had to be a lot of young guys who really want to get moved from music videos and go do a feature. Not just a feature you can put on YouTube, but something where they can Google it and it'll be everywhere. So I started to look for distributors who are willing to work with me, give some of these guys the opportunity. Most of them told me no, if I wasn't directing it, that they was not interested. So I was able to find one who said yes, as long as you produce it and make sure everything was okay, then we'd be willing to do it. So this movie, I didn't direct this movie. I led a young guy from Chicago, his name is Jemaz Hampton. This is his first feature. And I allow him to gave him opportunity so he can, you know, direct his first feature.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've been through it all. I can see you've been through it all. And even knowing the distribution company, I mean, that's gonna be very useful, especially in the future.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do some other projects with them, and I'm gonna try to give some other young guys opportunity, you know, guys and girls, opportunities to direct features. You know, bringing some other younger writers. Because when I started, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't really have anybody. There's people I could ask questions to, but nobody's telling me, like, don't do that. You should probably do this. So I want to try to give that back. I want to give that experience to someone so they can kind of move past a lot of the stuff that you go through in this industry to try to get to something, you know, that really makes sense. You know, and try to find a creatives that actually do have potential, and they just need that little push, or they just need somebody to give them an opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And we're on the same boat, because that's what I've literally been doing for the past year with this. That's what I've been doing for the past year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you get a lot of indie artists?
I get all around artists, but I've gotten indie artists myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I look at life like this. Everybody has something to say. They just need an opportunity to say it. You know, uh-huh. So the more voices out there, the more people have an opportunity to express themselves creatively, visually, vocally, whichever way they express themselves, the more the merrier. There's, you know, if you do it and you do it correctly, there are a lot of people who will like it. They'll listen to it. Even with the soundtrack, I mean, it keeps getting added to these playlists and stuff like that because people are listening to it. They're liking it, you know, they're liking the music, what they're listening to. So, you know, we obviously we've done some promotion to kind of promote it to go to playlists. But if they didn't think it was a good song, they wouldn't necessarily add it or be, you know, talking about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, only congrats for getting on playlists. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah, it is definitely a project. That comes in, that's like that, because I haven't done really music. The last couple of projects, I usually do original music for television and film, but I didn't. This project, I spent more time on the soundtrack than I've done in the past. You know, so that's why I said I feel really proud about this soundtrack because I really spent a lot of time on it. The producer who did the songs on the soundtrack, Lamar Jones, he did a really great job. I mean, you're going to the thing about finding artists to produce stuff. And telling them they can't use samples. Some people can't live without samples, you know. But him coming up with original music and not having any samples, that was really great because we do all original stuff and trying to keep you from having to, you know, clear samples is really important. So for him to be able to do all those things and have original tracks, that was really phenomenal.
Yeah, you're 100% right. People, I've seen them and you've seen them too. They always have to sample something. And everybody loves original. I absolutely love when you make something original because everybody knows it comes from you. If you use samples, I think that they'll probably think first you're copying. And then second, they're gonna see that you're not who you say you are. They're gonna think that you're a fake or something. But when you tell me that, when I listen and you told me that he is original, I know that it came from him, and I know that I'm going to enjoy it because it came from him, and it came original, and he worked his hardest. That's what the same thing with samples, too. It proves that you don't work as, you're not a hard worker, and I guess in some kind of sense.
Yeah, well, you know, taking samples and flipping them around and coming up with something, a new interpretation of it, that's really great. But a lot of times going through the process of clearing a sample can be, you know, a very big task. So I don't deal with it. We all have to do original stuff, which makes artists sometimes stretch a little bit because they can kind of hear something somebody already did and it's like, oh, I'm just going to kind of work from that. But to have to come up with something 100% original and do original lyrics and, you know, arrangements and everything, that is not something that everybody can do. So that's why with these artists, they were very good. They arranged really great. They were able to come up with the hooks and just the writing, all original stuff. That was really good.
Yeah, and I like the leadership role you took on. I mean, not only that, but you were able to get, like, a community together into doing the soundtrack. I mean, that's really impressive. That's really amazing that you were able to do that and handle your life at the same time. I mean, wow, like, this is pretty impressive. Like, is this this is probably, like, the best soundtrack you've ever done. I like one of the best ones.
Yeah, this is probably the best one. This is, you know, not to say that the other ones were not good, but this one was really, I feel a connection to it because I was able to really find a good team of people to work with, to, you know, to really connect with and to, you know, get what we need to get done. And a lot of times you'll work on stuff. And like I said before, some artists, I work with this one artist producer one time. He's really good at arranging everything, but I'm a creative, I'm an artist too. Sometimes I have to be in the mood to do certain things and I have to be in that space to be creative. And I needed him to write a song for something and he couldn't do it because he's having problems with his baby mother, you know? And so he just couldn't be there, you know? And I understood that. I thought he would have made a really great song, but he just was not in the creative space for him to do it, you know? And so sometimes that's the one thing you got. This time, I didn't really have that problem. You know, everybody came up to work. Everybody came to, you know, I asked them, whatever I asked them to do, they was right there. They came to sessions. And I talked to a lot of indie artists. I reached out to a lot of indie artists. One of the things that I probably got a lot, and I think, which now they're probably kind of scratching their head why they didn't do it. You approach an indie artist and say, hey, I want to do this movie soundtrack. They like, okay, somebody just kind of pull them on chain. You know, they're not really trying to do it. And I'm like constantly like, hey, I really think you're working. They're like, oh, I don't know. Or they don't respond. And then usually what happens is that all the way up to the point when I send them the paperwork, they take a little time, they'll sign the contract, they'll sign it. It's not until they actually go into the studio that they really buy into it. They're actually doing a song for a movie soundtrack or a television show. Up to that point, they're kind of like, okay, at some point, somebody's going to jump out and say, hey, you're on Candid Camera. And then doing a movie and everything, it's a process. So we've done these songs a long time ago. So now you got to wait. You can't post. You know, you can't talk about it. You can talk about what you're doing, but you can't really put the song out there and everything. So we have to go through a schedule. And sometimes getting artists to convince them to actually go to stay on the schedule is kind of hard because they want everybody to hear their creativity. But it's a lot of people that there's a lot of moving parts. So we have to do everything that we schedule. And a lot of times, you know, I have artists that they are all into doing it, but it's not until it actually comes out and they see it on Spotify, Amazon, or a Tidal, they're like, wow, we actually did this. You know, so this group of people were very cooperative. They came up to deal with what they're supposed to. They were really great, and we just didn't have any problems.
I can definitely tell. I mean, your approach, I mean, it was crazy when you told me they didn't respond, but you made it to where it would be okay to say yes. Like, I have enough proof to show you that this is not a scam. Like, this is for real. And you pull a whole team together. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of people cannot do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny because I think about some of the, this other producer I know, he had the movie just came out like last month. And he was trying to take the kind of approach that I did. And he said he was running into so many dead ends and walls and people just was not being cooperative with it. And he was just like, I don't know how you were able to do it. I really try to be honest and straight up with people. You know, I tell them, especially indie artists for something like this, I said, look, this is not going to make you a millionaire. It's not. But no stretch of the imagination. but it will provide an opportunity to put your music in front of people who traditionally would never listen to you, who would never see you, would not Google you or search for you on any particular platform. Because it's in the soundtrack, then people are forced to listen to it when they look at the movie. They also kind of push to listen to it when it's promoted on social media. So now, whatever else you're trying to do, it allowed them to buy into who you are as an artist on this project, but also buy into the fact that you may have some other stuff. So if you like this song, like Rosie Bush did the song Hustle, if you like this, Rosie has other songs on Spotify and all other platforms that you might like. If you like this song by 86, he has other songs and, you know, music videos and everything that you might like. So it allows you to open yourself up to a whole nother group of people who would not even know you exist.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I've definitely been there. I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and yeah, you help promote them too, which is really amazing that you also help promote them and at the same time making friends. And you're making a great movie, and you're promoting that. I mean, like, I don't know about that, but that seems like a signed, sealed, and delivered deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, so there's the next phase of the soundtrack will be like in a week or so after we got the initial release. So Music Weekly did an article about the soundtrack, and a couple of the magazines, too, which I am going to post after we get past this week and this weekend of the initial release. And then on top of that, we have when I decided to do this project, traditionally when you do television and film, usually the producer takes the script to an agency that does product placement. And the agency will take it to clients who can pay the fee. That's usually what happens. But this time I didn't want to do that. I really wanted to give opportunities to small businesses who have really strong social media and have really great products and find ways to put them in the movie, not just like, you know how you look at some movie, like you look at Transformers and they're in front of Taco Bell fighting and then somebody drinks a Coke, you clearly know it's product placement. But I wanted to find opportunities for these smaller mid-sized companies who have really great products and put them into the movie that made sense. So I was able to connect with about 9 companies of products. And in this, we're going to have campaigns like every 3 weeks of new products and little clips of the movie for you to look. So you have to follow London Town Pictures on Instagram or whatever platform it is. And you have to follow whatever the product is, like Guidance Whiskey, We the Hype, Get Head Game, Fear, all the beer companies, all the companies we're working with. You have to answer questions. So this week's question is with Guidance Whiskey. And the question is, who called Ebony after she had her coffee with a shot of Guidance Whiskey that morning? So you look at the little clip after she has her coffee and it cuts off. And so now you have to go look at the movie to answer the question. It does 2 things. One, we get a stream. The secondly, what it does is that it allows you to clearly see the brand and connect with the brand in the movie. And that is what you want to happen with product placement. So working with indie artists, working with these small brands, the medium-sized brands, and doing stuff with them, I think this movie is a correlation of really working with people to make things happen.
Yes, absolutely. And that looks so fun. I might actually tune in. That actually sounds so fun. I actually want to do it. That sounds so fun.
It is. You know, this is the same thing with the artist. You know, you send somebody a message and they, you know, think somebody's, you know, you call somebody who has a brand, they got like 20,000 followers and it's like, hey, you want to be in, you know, you want to put your product in the movie? They're like, okay, somebody's playing games with me. So, you know, I'll get that somewhere. I probably talked to like 200-300 companies and a lot of them just didn't respond or they just kind of blew me off like he wasn't for real. You know, and when I would get them on the phone, I would initially do a Zoom call so they can clearly see I'm a real person. I'm not trying to catfish them or do some crazy. And then I would send them the paperwork. They send the paperwork. They send the product. And then when I start sending them, you know, clips of the movie us using the product, it's kind of like it clicked in the mail. Like, oh my goodness, this is actually a real movie that they're actually doing a real movie. So this month is like I said, Guidance Whiskey. Next month in January is Black Pro Health. They make vitamins. There's a couple in Atlanta, in Georgia, actually makes vitamins. Not just putting a name on, they actually make vitamins, you know, and supplements. So we decided to use them in January because that's when everybody's trying to, you know, take the New Year's resolution and get yourself together. We have a young lady who's in Houston. She has a Italian leather. She makes Italian leather women's shoes. You know, so these are really decent brands. When you look at the movie, you'll see all the product in there. And we're going to do our best to through the movie to promote their brand and also promote Ebony Hustle.
Ah, wow. That is genius. I love that. Like, that is genius. I mean, not only are you having fun, you're getting more views for the movie, you're helping out the brand, you're promoting the brand, and you're getting more sales for them. Like, it's like yin and yang, like, kind of thing. Like, one benefits and the other one benefits too. I mean, that's pretty amazing that you were able to pull that off.
Yeah. It's a process. Just like I said, filmmaking is, although it's that what people see in front of the camera, a lot of it is just relationship, talking to people, calling people, paperwork, computer, emails. That's where the real work come in. When we actually at the point where we're actually shooting, I can step back and take a moment to sit back a little bit because I've done all the work. All we have to do now is just, you know, everybody else. I've hired all the people. I've brought in all the products. Got all the people to work together. I try to hire really good people, department heads, to do their job, and I let them do their job.
Yes, absolutely. Go and do so. I mean, you already got a good team going. I mean, just go and let them.
Yes, let them do it. Yeah.
Yep, and I also love the creative freedom you give them. I mean, you're not like a strict person, like, we got to do this type. Like, you let them express themselves. That's amazing.
I learned a long time ago that if you give somebody a job, you got to allow them to do it. And it doesn't have to be exactly the way that maybe I would do it, but if the outcome is going to be the same, then allow them to do it. If you hire them, especially if you're paying them, you have to allow them to do what you entrusted them to do. And so I really try to find people that we're on the same page initially. So when it's time to do the work, just like with the director, you know, he wasn't part of the writing process. I was. And so when I went to go try to hire him, I was like, look, this is what my vision is. This is what our vision is for this project. How do you see this? And it wasn't 100% the way I did, but we met in the middle. We compromised to where we both could be happy, you know. So I want to give him the opportunity. I want to kind of keep the vision clear. Also keep what I have already committed to the distributor of what we were going to do, because it's like I've come to an agreement with them and said, this is the type of movie we're going to do. This is where it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. I have to find somebody else who's going to agree the same way so I can come back to them with something for them to be happy with and say, hey, this is exactly what, you know, what we said we're going to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I love that you make it so that everyone benefits, including yourself. You're making it so everyone's included. I mean, I wish in those times that I was working, I wish it was like that. You're very blessed indeed. You're very blessed.
Yeah, I take it as being very fortunate. I'm very happy that I've met some really talented people that have really, you know, come to work with me, and some actors who have done like a lot of big, amazing stuff. Like the main girl, Michelle Lamb, who plays Ebony. Michelle is on tour with 2 Chainz right now. 2 Chainz does this, in between his concert, he does these little skits about his life. She plays 2 Chainz' mother in these skits while he's doing his concert. So she's done a lot of amazing stuff over her career. And for her to say, hey, I like Ebony Hustle, I think that I can make this work, I'm very honored for her to do it. My producing partner, Kathy Sepp's personal reference is Michael Eisner. That's a personal reference.
Mm.
You know, she has produced she does a lot of courtroom shows, so Judge Alex's and things and so on. She's done like really big stuff. And for her to come and say, hey, I want to take this journey with you, I'm always impressed. I'm always honored when people want to work with me. Because like I said before, nobody's required to. So when someone says yes to me, they probably said no to somebody else. So every time somebody says yes, I'm honored. Just like you, when I connected with you, you could have said no. You didn't have to talk with me. You just said no. But you said yes, so I'm honored.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's very, very true. And that what's the real meaning opportunity. That's the real meaning and real insider on opportunities. I mean, you have a lot of doors open and lots more to open.
Yes, I'm hoping so. I'm really hoping that this template that we have created, particularly with Ebony Hustle, because Ebony Hustle is a combination of all the other movies and television shows I've done in the past. I use all those skills to try to really bring a lot to this. So I'm hoping with the template that we've created, that the next couple of projects out of there will kind of follow that template. We can kind of make those same things happen.
Well, you already know it's going to happen. You already know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I hope those things actually do happen. I really hope so.
Yeah, they will. You know, I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist. I'm a guy that's, I believe in the glass is half full. I like to believe, you know, I'm a person that believes in choosing to be happy, choosing to be optimistic. My daughter says all the time, when I start talking about it, I'm trying to encourage her something, she said, okay, that's enough, Captain America. She calls me Captain America. Here come Daddy being Captain America with his, you know, speeches. But happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy in spite of whatever your situation is. All my life, I don't get up every single day and everything just perfect. But I'm choosing to be optimistic. I'm choosing to believe the good in people. I'm choosing that people will make the right decisions and not do me wrong. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. But it's not what happens to you. It's really how you respond to stuff. People can really deal with really big things, but it's the little things that get people messed up. They spill their coffee in the morning, or, you know, they break their heel on their shoe. Those are things that get people up and out of shape. The big stuff they can deal with. So those little things are what cause people to get upset. If I meet somebody, I have no idea what they're going through. So it's probably better for me just to be positive and treat them nice, because I don't know what's going on in their life. I have no idea. I always think about this as one example. When I was in elementary school, there was this teacher named Miss Davis. And Miss Davis, she seemed to be really mean all the time. Just mean. And I didn't think too much about it until one day I saw her husband. He's come pick up all the time. He would be outside waiting for her. And this particular day, he was outside and he was like real slouchy. He was urinating from the car. And I was saying to myself, at that moment, I realized I have no idea what she's dealing at home. Although she seemed to be mean, but she's probably going through a lot that I have no idea. So you meet people, you don't know what they're going through. You know, what is it for you to be nice? Hold the door for somebody. What is it for you to be, you know, to just, you know, take the extra step and, you know, pick up something they drop? Why is it going to hurt you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing that people get confused of, and that, you know, it kind of is a trigger for them, is when they don't really understand the meaning when someone's mean or anything. Like, you know that we're not born mean. Like, everyone's born with a good heart, you know. If someone's mean, I always believed it, too. I always believed that when someone was rude to me, they dealt with something in their past life. So you and I both, we chose to be hopeful and positive. Like, that's really, you know, what people should do. You know, they shouldn't, like, close the door, you know, immediately. They shouldn't do that. I mean, exactly like you said, you don't know.
Yeah, you just don't know. You don't know. So I try to stay focused on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I focus on it too. Like, when someone's mean, I'm like, eh, that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad you talked to me. Like, who knows? You could close the door on something, like an amazing opportunity or a great new friend. I mean, I give everybody a chance.
Yeah, that's good. You should really do that, because you never know what you can get from it.
Yeah, you never know. And when that person unpeels itself, you know, when they finally be honest and unpeel their soul to you, you'll see, you know, you'll see their struggle and where they came from.
Yes, this is true.
Yes, absolutely. Which I also came in realization when you were talking about the whole soundtrack. I mean, you let the people come down the walls to really come together and make a project that meant so much to you. I mean, God, I wish I could do that. Honestly, I wish that I could pull that off. So for you to do it, for you to be blessed enough to even, you know, have that, it's like, you know, this is what God can really do. This is what he can do.
Yeah, it you can do it too. It's just a matter of you have to find like-minded people who have the same passion and ideas as you. And it takes a lot of digging. You know, I work on the aspect of that if somebody doesn't say no to me, they're just looking for the right thing for allowing them to say yes. They want to say yes, but I just got to say the right thing to them to allow them to say yes. And so you just have to do a lot of digging. You have to do a lot. There's a lot of people you have to go through to get to the point of people who will say yes, because somebody will always say yes. It's not even so much about that. It's also about finding the right people that you want the right people to say yes. It's like if you decided to want to do a soundtrack of really great indie artists of, you know, that they're all doing, let's just say Christian rap, but you keep finding all these punk rockers, you know, they want to do it, but it's not what you need. You just got to keep digging. So don't give up. You got to keep digging.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been in a loophole many times. I remember I was in the same loophole. I was there. I was there. But I love that you take everything positively, and that's why you're a really kind of person, and that's why I brought you here to get into that, because I'm really, really, really proud that you stood your ground, made amazing projects, running different lives, and at the same time looking good doing it. So that's pretty amazing. Y'all pay attention.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have another interview at 5:15. So we are going to have to, the publicist is giving me the evil eye over here.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. I can totally understand, you know, on your schedule. I totally get it. I want to thank you so much for stopping by for this little talk. I appreciate you. You're absolutely amazing, and I'm so happy for all your projects, new, old, and present. I'm so proud of you and so happy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I look forward to talking with you again soon. I also look forward to bringing other projects on. Make sure everybody go see Ebony Hustle. You can go to ebonyhustle.com or just go to Tubi TV and type in Ebony Hustle and you should be able to see the movie. And also the soundtrack is streaming on all music platforms, so be sure to check that out.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Y'all make sure to check out the brand new movie. Make sure to check all his socials down below and the link provided for you. Again, I appreciate you coming by. And I know you got to head off soon, which I appreciate you. And I want you to have a great rest of your evening. And it was a treat getting to meet you. You're amazing.
Oh, I plan on, my birthday is on Sunday, so I plan on starting my birthday very soon.
Amazing. Happy early birthday. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. All right. Have a positive, productive day.
Oh, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And to the audience, I will see you guys in the next one I do. Don't Be Losers and Not Check Out John Wayne S. III. If you guys are looking for films, this is a good guy to hit up. Have a wonderful day. Love you. Bye.